Lynn Fraser's going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. This morning, I have the privilege of spending time in the studio with Alan and Robin Gilman, and I am so excited to hear their story, and I know you will be too. So I'm going to let them speak for themselves and tell their story, because it's a great story to glorify God. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. It's great to be here.
So I just want to open the floor to you, and let's start with kind of where have you come from and where are you at?
Well, Robin and I have been married 33 years.
Yes.
We're both from Montreal, and we're both from Jewish backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And we both came to know the Lord Jesus as our Messiah around the same time through very different circumstances in around 1976.
Okay. So that you would have been...
I was 19.
19.
And I was 17.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's the whole subject of finances was a very important one as I grew up, in that I was the youngest of, there's four boys in my family, and I'm the very much youngest of the four, but I was brought up with a lot of anxiety about money, and my parents used to argue a lot. They eventually split up when I was about 15 years old. But while they were together, most of the arguments I remember were about money. And I remember, for the most part, all the things that we couldn't do because we didn't have enough money. My father taught me that money made the world go round. So then, years later, coming to know the Lord, God introduced me to some very different concepts about money and finances.
And that became the foundation for your life since then?
I guess so. Yeah. Just in terms of living life, you know, money is such a part of that. But it must have been in that first year of being a new believer, hearing for the first time what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Awesome.
It's the whole idea that we have a Father in heaven, and he's promised to take care of the material things in life. And so our job is to seek him and to do his will, whatever he calls us to do, and that he would take care of us like a good father is committed to do.
Awesome.
So this idea that God would take care of our needs was a pretty wild concept.
Awesome. So how about you, Robin? What was your, tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, as Alan said, I come from a Jewish home, but there was no religion there. It was a culturally Jewish home. And so there was no God involved. And as far as finances go, it was all on us. We saved in order to do things. And so to live a life where we're seeking God first, we're considering God, we're following God and making decisions based on God and not on what we have in the bank or salaries was completely different. And as our children started coming along, my parents worried because they saw that we didn't have what the world would think were the appropriate means to raise these children.
So it was all about the harder you work, the more you got paid. If you wanted something, you saved and you strived and you worked hard and you would be rewarded based on your own efforts, period. That's how you were raised.
That's right. And while the Bible has good things to say about saving, as Alan said, the focus in God's word is on following God. And we have amazing stories of him providing in every way imaginable as we have sought to put him first and to follow him and to obey him. And it's been a glorious journey, and God has been more than faithful.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we've tried to do our part as best as possible in terms of working hard, being careful in our spending, seeking God for wisdom in what we plan to do and what we do. But as part of that planning, it would always be, here's our situation, here are our financial needs, but what is God telling us to do? How is he leading us? And then seeking to make decisions based on that, trying never to be foolish, best we can, but deferring our decisions to the Lord and trying to make those decisions based on what he's saying. And he's been so faithful to us through the years.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you've got 10 children. And you have not had large salaries throughout your life to take care of those 10 kids. And I know you've got numerous stories about his provision and how he's blessed your family and shone his favor on you. And, you know, more than anything else, as much as people listen to this show because they want financial tips and how do you manage money and how do you create a budget and how do you follow a budget and how do you get out of debt, and all that stuff is important, right? Because there's a part that we have to play. But more important is the piece that you bring to the table in knowing that God is your provider. That's the biggest part. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we both were going to the same Bible school in Toronto when we were brand new believers. And semester after semester, we needed to trust in the Lord to provide. We would work summer jobs, but it'd never really be enough to pay for tuition and room and board. And then going into our last year together, we got married, and it was the same thing. I had a little part-time job at the school. Robin did the housework as her part of her contribution, and we had to rely on the Lord. And I remember, you know, there's been so many stories like this, but some friends of ours who were going to the school as well. This is back in 1980 is when we got married. So before going into our last year, some friends of ours gave us a gift of $1,000 and helped paid for wow. What at that time was much of our tuition in the rates of that day. But then graduated, and we were in full-time ministry for the first 10 years after Bible school. What our regular income was would never be enough to pay for all the expenses that we had, but the Lord would provide, whether it was our first car we got for $600 and all the various things that we needed to do, God would provide and provide and provide. Sometimes we would get to the edge. Sometimes we'd find ourselves over the edge in terms of our financial situation. But then one way or another, the Lord would pull us out and guide us, whether through help from friends, anonymous gifts, a change in work situation, so many different ways the Lord would take care of us.
Awesome.
And over the years, sometimes Alan's been in full-time ministry with a salary and sometimes without, or he's been employed with a decent salary or not employed. And regardless, God has taken care of us. And I remember at one point I was pregnant with my sixth, and I was getting routine blood taken, and the person taking the blood, finding out that this was not my first but my sixth baby I was expecting, said, "Wow, you're..." Well, first she asked if I was working, and I gave my normal answer, which is yes, very hard at home. And then she said, "Wow, your husband must have a great salary." And at the time, I think Alan didn't have any regular employment. He was getting odd jobs in the computer world, just here and there. And I had to smile to myself because that wasn't the reason, that wasn't what informed our decision. I stayed home with the kids because that's what we felt before the Lord I should do. And so that didn't inform. She was thinking, well, for me to be at home, that means he must be earning some astronomical figure. But that wasn't the case. But God was providing.
Yeah. One story that comes to mind to emphasize the amazing change that God brought about, especially in my life, because I was brought up with so much anxiety about money and finances, was our second born was about 12 years old. We were living in the Vancouver area at the time, and the fellowship we were going to was doing a weekend camp for kids. And as it's been the case often, we didn't have any extra money to send our kids to camp, we were putting her to bed, and we pray for our children before they go to sleep, and she was asking about the possibility of going to the camp. I want to make sure she understood that it didn't look like we had the money to do this, and so she looked at me and said, but that's never stopped us before. And there I was raised when I was her age, it was always, you can't, we can't, I can't because there isn't enough money. My eldest brother telling me that I wouldn't be able to go to university and this sort of thing because my parents didn't have the money and on it went. And then come to the Lord at 19 and all of a sudden these infinite resources become available. There's nothing that we can't dream about. If God is in it, He will take care of it. Remember years ago, I went to Israel with five of the kids. Robin was pregnant and we had a couple little ones, so she couldn't go on this trip. And so I went with the five oldest children, and just the expenses to get us there were something like $18,000. And the Lord provided all of it through all sorts of different means and all unpredictable ways. And even though that's a large lump sum, that is a typical story of if God was in something that He's led us to do, He would provide for us.
You mean you didn't have to mortgage your home and go into a huge amount of debt to go on a vacation, a dream vacation? You mean there was another way, right?
No. Robin is very adamant about the debt monster. So we've used credit cards and we have a line of credit and we have those things, but whenever that specter of debt where it would look like expenditures would mean not being able to pay by the end of that month, she'd be the stronger one of the two of us to kind of hold us back, that we really didn't want to go there. And so that's also been part of our story, and I'm grateful for that. I've been between the two of us, the one who's been easier to go, well, we could just use the plastic, but she's pulled back on those reins, for which I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Awesome.
I do want to say that trip wasn't a vacation, it was a ministry trip that was part of a bigger ministry that was going. Vacations haven't been a priority to us because of the lack of savings, kind of thing. And I had to deal with that before the Lord. And one time many years ago, when I was feeling kind of sad, I guess, that, or not sad, I was feeling that my children were somehow missing out because we didn't do the vacation thing. And God spoke to me And the gist of it was, while vacations are great, and if you can do vacations, it's wonderful, but it wasn't of value to Him. And we have lots of good family time, but to get up and go wherever, I think it's neither here nor there to the Lord as far as something that will make it or break it for my children having a happy childhood. They will all tell you they've had a happy childhood, and even though we haven't done the typical North American vacation thing.
Yeah. But then there's the time a friend of ours loaned us his motorhome for a week, and we went on a lovely vacation in the motorhome in the interior of British Columbia. So awesome. There's also been those stories as well. But
Well, God provides for our needs, and He provides for a lot of wants and desires too. And as I was sharing before, our children have been able to have dance classes and music lessons and things like this. And sometimes it's been in exchange for work. We've done some cleaning in a dance studio in exchange for dance classes. I have made meals in exchange for piano lessons.
Sometimes we've actually paid for some of those things.
We have, but I'm just saying the creative ways that God has allowed us to have some of these, what I would call extras. They're not, definitely not survival needs. And yet our children have been able to be blessed with some of these wonderful things.
And if I'm correct, like your children haven't just had one or two dance lessons or one or two music lessons, but in fact, they're very accomplished. And I mean, they've had extensive training.
They are. And we actually, at the moment, direct our own Christian studio.
Yeah, so we own a dance studio in town, and yes, many of our kids have been very, very trained to pretty high levels in a very expensive extracurricular activity, namely ballet. And it's been a little funny because some of their co-dance students they've been with at various studios come from very well-off homes because dance lessons can be very expensive. But the main thing, and it has always been the question, is this what God wants us to be doing as a family? Is this what He wants for our individual kids? And the Lord has provided. One of the things I like to tell people when I meet new parents, parents with one or two kids, often when they hear that we have 10 and they have two, we usually hear, oh, and I have my hands full with two. I don't know how you do it with 10. And I tell them that God has promised to provide for our needs. So the more needs we have, then the more provision we have from God. And so often what we do is when our needs are smaller, we look at people or we think of the possibility of having greater need. And God doesn't give grace for all those potential things that might happen in the future. He gives grace, and he provides for the needs that we have in the present. So we have a lot of kids. We've needed a lot of provision.
And I want to just extend that, even though this is a financial focus here, that so it goes with money and finances, that's with all our needs. So just even the physical or emotional ability. When I had one child, I say it took everything I had. It took all my energy, it took all my strength, my everything. And then we had two, and I thought, wow, well, I don't have any energy for more. But as I tell people, and even when I'm pregnant, God doesn't give me what I need for when that child is born. He gives me what I need for this day. Just whether it's finances or emotional, physical, everything for that situation of that day. He doesn't give us the rest in our pocket for a future day, but the next day he gives us what we need for that. And that has been true.
Wow. So, Robin, how has your family responded? Now, you said that they thought you were a little bit, they were concerned about your finances initially, but I mean, they've got to be watching you and your kids.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they're thinking, because there was a time when every time I would announce I was pregnant, they would get very concerned and upset. They would just think, how can you afford, you know, bus passes, rent, who's going to rent to you? This is before we owned a house. And owning a house is an amazing story in and of itself, of God providing in miraculous ways. But anyway, back to my parents. So they were responding negatively, because they had that anxiety of how could you possibly do this, because they don't know God, and that is how we could possibly do it. I mean, they have seen, though. They've seen our children flourish. They admire who they are. So not quite sure exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah, it's certainly certainly has been confusing me recently, because the majority of my family aren't saved. My daughter's not saved. And I think, how can you find the logic in that? Like in not knowing that there's a God. It doesn't make any sense that you don't understand that there's a God, to me. But anyway, the time will come.
Yeah, well, right now more than ever before, I think people are living with and are seeking to cope with a level of meaninglessness that maybe has never been before in human experience. And people are now living lives in these little tiny moments of either it's work or pleasure, and they're losing the big scope of this incredible story that God has been orchestrating since creation. You know, the famous passage at the near the end of Romans 8:28, for God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And many believers like quoting that. It's such an incredible concept that God would bring good out of even the most terrible of circumstances. But one of the things in there, and this does relate to what we're talking about, is he works good for those who are called according to his purpose. And God has a purpose in the world. And that purpose isn't just figuring out how we're going to feed our faces every day or how we're going to take that vacation. It's not about that. It's about are being called into God's incredible plan in the world that Jesus is the center of, but that he invites us all into. And so if we give ourselves to that, it's not just a question of God provides for our needs. It's that he calls us into his grand mission, and he funds that mission. And so our job is to find our place in what God's calling us to do. And so whether it's having lots of kids and teaching them God's way, or all the other amazing multitude of things that God calls his people to do, he's promised to fund his ventures.
Exactly.
And I want to add one thing that goes along with that. there's no, I want to encourage people because I think a lot of people have, and I have had this, but God can't, and this one thing, you know, that like, yeah, God does amazing things, wonderful things, but God can't or God won't. And as long as it's according to his character and his will, he will. And one of my little but God won't somehow years ago was dental. We didn't have dental insurance. And I, for some reason, I had this idea that, I don't know, I just didn't have faith for dental and for orthodontics and things like that. And yet one day we met through someone else, a dentist who offered free dental work and some free orthodontic work. And I remember being in tears thinking, God can even provide that. And so for all of us who have this area of yeah, he does, but he doesn't, or he can't, or he won't, he can, and he will, if it's according to his character and his will.
Yep.
You know, I think one of the things that I frequently talk about with people is the fact that when we step into debt, when we make a decision to use plastic for whatever we think we need or want, what we've said is, God, I don't believe you will provide. And so I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Or I'm not convinced that you're as good a gift giver as I am, so I'm going to go and get it myself. And not only do we get trapped in debt as a result, but we really miss seeing God's blessing and his direction. You know, we wander around praying and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what? Where do you want me to go? I want to hear from you. I'm waiting to hear from you. But one of the ways he talks to us is in the provision that he gives us, right? To me, I think that's one of the clear guiding posts is if he has provided for it, if he wants you to do it, he's going to provide for it. If he hasn't provided for it, then you better wait because it's not in his plan yet. Or maybe it's not in his plan at all, you know, but I think it's such a key piece.
One of our most difficult financial moments for us was I was working for a software firm, and the way we were running our lives at the time is we would use credit card for some of our expenses and every month pay it off. So we never went into credit card debt. Until we hit this hiccup where things were such in this company that I really felt I needed to leave. And we sought the Lord and felt, yes, needed to leave the company. So then I had a period where I wasn't getting income, and we went into the minus for the first time in years. And it was something like $3,000. But we didn't run that way. We always paid off our credit card bills. And so now we dipped, owed $3,000 on the credit card. What do we do? God help us. And sometimes you find yourself in a hole, whether it's your own fault or not, there we were. So we had these friends that they too were struggling financially, but they had moved across the country, and I think they finally had sold their house in the other city, and they had some extra cash. And so they lent us the $3,000 to pay off our credit card, and then we had an arrangement with them, pay it off when you can. And it took me years to get over that. There was just something about that. I saw it as such a negative thing that I kind of blew it. We went into the negative. We fell into debt. And the way the Lord got us out of that hole was not my preference. I would have rather gotten a nice contract and paid it off, or paid off little by little. But to have these friends who themselves were struggling, and then they would loan us the money to bring us to zero on the credit card, and then pay them off, and we pay them off quicker than expected. But still, that left such a bad taste in my mouth. But I think the issue there is I really wasn't accepting that God was going to do things in our lives his way, whether I liked it or not. And the whole thing about trusting in God's provision is that, are we going to live life his way and allow him to work in our hearts the way he wants to and let him guide in our circumstances as we seek him, as he teaches us? Or, you know, are we going to do it his way or are we going to do it our way? And that could be a hard lesson to learn, but an essential lesson. We've got to learn that one.
And when we do, we have the amazing privilege of walking the path that he's laid out for us. And I mean, the results are the results are in the pudding, right? I'm sitting here as we speak, looking at this picture of 10 kids. Now, I've only had the privilege of meeting one, as far as I know, but she's beautiful. And what an amazing heart she has. And I'm sure that if I had a conversation with the other nine, they'd all have their own stories, and they all have a relationship that's beyond anything that you could have imagined, and no secular world could have provided for it. And it's walking according to His plan. I'm so grateful that we've had some time together. I could spend hours listening to your stories. I know you've got more.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
More keep coming to mind as we talk, of course.
Well, maybe what we'll have to do is have your kids come, maybe one at a time, because that would take up a few shows, wouldn't it?
I think so. And they do have stories to tell, each one of in their own stories.
I know they do.
Both in growing up and since.
You know, I think in summary, really the message that you bring is that God provides. And as long as we don't meddle in it, as long as we don't get in the way, as long as we don't turn to the worldly system, God provides. And for those that are listening that have already gone down that path of walking in a worldly system, there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, and there is a way out. They can turn and walk the other way.
Yeah, He's a good Father.
Yeah,
He is.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you again for coming today. If anyone has any questions or they want to carry on this conversation, you can reach me. Give me a call at 613-520-4157. If you'd like some help in your financial situation, by all means, give us a call and we'll help to create a plan according to His plans. And thanks again for coming. And I just want to close in prayer. So, Lord, I thank You that You are touching minds and You are touching hearts, and Your grace abounds. And for everyone that's listening that has been struggling in the way of finances and trying to figure out how to do it right, I know You have an answer, I know You have forgiveness, and I know You have a purpose for their lives. So, Lord, I pray that You'll just guide them to the next steps, that You'll cause them to turn to You, that they'll come to You for the answers, and that You'll order their steps and so that they can walk into the place of freedom that only You can bring. And I just thank You, Lord, for all You've done and all You're going to do. And I give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, this has been an amazing time and an amazing show. And I know lives are being changed even now as we speak. So will you come again?
Sure.
Love to.
Wow. So thanks for listening in today, and I look forward to spending some time with you again next week. And have an amazing day filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.